Share my throne, my kingdom, and my crown.
Welcome, friends. Good to be back. And I appreciate God's mercies on my life, God's blessings upon us. And I appreciate this opportunity. I want to thank Brother King Kate for this invitation. I'm among friends, I'm sure. And I can count on your prayers. And I wish I had the facility and the liberty this lady had for speaking. I'm the longest, windiest preacher when it comes to Spanish. When it comes to English, I get the lap job. That's just an inferiority complex I've just never been able to overcome. So again, forgive me for asking you to please overbear with me these few moments again. To your advantage, when it comes to English, I have to just cut it short. My congregation wish that I'd get a little lecture from time to time, but that's not the case over there. Oh, I want to thank you again for the invitation. Good to see Brother Billy. Brother. Not only am I lecture, I'm absent-minded too. Brother Willie, Brother Rose, and, good to see you, my brother. Campbell, Brother Campbell. I'm going to have my wife, I bring her to remind me where to stop. After 27 years there, where we are, at Puerta La Hermosa, I guess that's the result. But anyway, I want to say I appreciate this invitation. I've always had a special respect and love for Brother Kincaid and his family, his wife, and his three children. And they're all an inspiration to me. I want to thank you, this great church, for your concern, your prayers, and your support. It means a lot to me. After the many years here in San Antonio, I do want to tell you that it does mean a lot. Thank you, some of you, for coming over to visit us from time to time when you all play hooky because you want to take some friend or some family over there that can't understand the English message. And I'm sure that they check with the pastor and go on over there. We just enjoy having you. And Lord's blessed us with you all when you come, especially those people that you bring to hear the gospel in Spanish. And then again, for the many references from some of you of other people that have come by, that you have recommended them to come by 538 Surrey. So maybe I'd be out of place to make an open invitation, come over by 538 Surrey Avenue. Maybe I'm out of place by saying it, but I'm still going to say it whenever you can. Just come by. Thank God for this congregation. It's a missionary vision. It's trust, it's faithfulness, and a selfless spirit for the cause of Christ. And I don't hold back to say that. I thank God and I praise God for that exemplary faith and determination to do God's work at any cost. Now, as an update for our Spanish work here in San Antonio, for those that have not seen me before, I'm sure that I've been mentioned in your prayers, no doubt about it. I want to appreciate it, but Brother Joe Carrizales, I was born here in San Antonio 56 years ago, even though I look 37. But I can't help it. And I still have my parents. They go to church there with us, and I thank God for them. Our first pastorage was in Fort Texas. Then we came back to San Antonio in 64. We've been stuck there. No, the people have been stuck with us for 27 years now there in Puerta La Hermosa. We're now in the middle of a building a campaign and cover to prayers that God will provide a supply that we might just finish that thing, get it behind us, and get busy too with the test that is before us. And I believe it's about 60% done, and the rest will be done in about 6-7 weeks if the Lord will provide, and we feel and we are trusting and praying that the Lord will. So you pray that God will bless to that effect. And we just finished a week of revival, and frankly, we've just been under the load, not only in the material side of it, but in the spiritual side. We had some people leave for jobs out of town, Chicago and Wisconsin, Washington State, and other places, and bang, that hurts. I'm sure you go through that from time to time. And so several families and some of our better workers, so we're trying to recuperate from it. But the Lord just wonderfully blessed. We had a man come from Indianapolis, Indiana, for a week, and God blessed with over 25 decisions. Just a bunch of visitors the Lord brought our way, and we baptized 11 people, and all through this evangelistic effort. And we thank God for that. God's good, and we're just rejoicing. Pray that we can just keep on going, And then again, cover to prayers for another program that we have in effect at the moment. We call it Operation House to House. And we have made detailed blocks, maps of city blocks there all around our church. And we have assigned them to the different persons, parties. And we're shading out every house that we are covering with the testimony of Christ. And Lord's given us some souls. And I believe the Lord will use this operation house to house. And may we be able to keep them busy with it until Jesus comes. And I pray that evangelistic outreach will reach our community that needs so much of our gospel, of the gospel. And let me hurriedly include, pray for our Christian school, pray for our Bible school, and then pray for our one of our most recent families that have gone out to do missionary work, the Contreras family. They left right after our anniversary, on the last part of May, and they've gone to Eagle Pass, and they've started a work. And you pray for them as he has launched out by faith, and he's already doing a good work. And I covered your prayers for our brother Felipe Contreras. So again, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I would invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 14, or chapter 13. And again, bear with me, if you would, please. All I had to do was bring my concordance. I have 2 or 3 Bibles with me here. All right. Romans 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word. Thank you for thy Holy Spirit. You know, in my heart, I want to be a blessing to these folks, to these good folks, to thy people. And Lord, we want thy help and thy unction, and bless these moments as we share. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to speak to you for a few moments on the word. Awake. Awakening is the meat of the hour. It is high time to awake. That's what we read. It's high time that we awake. Isn't it wonderful that God is in control? I don't know. Sometimes people are thrown into consternation because, things are just changing overnight. And many things, we just can't quite quite explain. But then again, isn't it amazing how God has control of human affairs, of the affairs of the world? Only He could have that liberty to have control in our churches. But that is not the case necessarily. Many of the churches are on the way down. Many of the preachers are on the way out. And the testimony of the gospel is all but gone. In the most parts of the gospel circles. Yet, we praise the Lord for His control. It's just a miracle. The way that in 1989 at its beginning, we could never have dreamed that so many gates would just be swung open overnight. That's a proof that God is in control. If we would have taken our strategies, our human knowledge, our economic offers overseas, or continue to send our peace delegations and continue to maneuver for strategies to kind of overturn or stop communism or back it off some, it would take us another 25 years. That can take only 25 seconds, and He can turn things around. And He has, because He is in control. I remember those scriptures in Ezekiel chapter 38, how He speaks of Gog and Magog, and how He will put that foot on the nose of that beast and just bring him down. And who would think that brother's shout would be such sheepish lately? And right now, of course, He's supposed to be in London with our beloved president also, and only God knows what all they will do. But again, I come back to this conviction. God is in control. God is in control. And I'm not one to be worried. No way. I'm not one to be worried. I believe God's in control of human affairs. I believe that He has shown His people that He is able to do if only we take occasion of the opportunity He gives us by opening doors for the gospel. Going into Hungary, going into Germany, going into Poland, going into Russia and China, which we would think that it would never in our lifetime would happen. But again, He's seated on the throne where He has always been and where He will always be. And we thank God that He has opened those doors that we thought that were closed for decades, and we thought it would still take a couple or three more decades to open. Now, we don't know if they're all of a sudden closed back again, but God has given us a demonstration of His power. If only we would not so much as depend on human muscle, but on divine muscle, and maybe we can get the job accomplished, but we kind of feel that we know how to do it better. But thank God that He's in control, and when He steps in, it's because He knows we lag so far behind, we'll never make it. So we also from time to time step in, give us a push, get some things done, and let's take advantage, because knowing that the time is at hand now, much more than since we believe, let us awake because it's high time. And let us realize what our time we're living in because His coming is near. Now, we are not waiting on God. God is the one that waits on us. We are the one that are keeping God waiting. And the hours for us then to be being any more wasting of time. What needs to be done must be done quickly. And this missionary conference and this meeting this week is to underline and emphasize and stress the urgency of time and the importance of getting the job done, the importance of not only realizing the fact that we as Christian people have
concerning our responsibility of world evangelization, but also it's a time where God uses the occasion to call out all the workers for the field. And it's an occasion to make us all aware of the situations. We have been concerned with Brother Billy's situation over there at the field. And certainly, not only he's, but so many. We got a phone call 4 days ago of a fellow missionary in Guanajuato. And it has been raining so much in that area, and many other areas in Mexico. But they finished the service, and with all the noise and all the rain, torrential rain over the tundra, and that little faithful group was there worshiping, and then they finished the service, and of course night was upon them, and they had to cross a river over a little bridge, but all of a sudden a dam gave out up there several kilometers up. And it just came dashing through, and they were right in the middle of the bridge, and just everyone was swept away. And a little 6-year-old girl, not of a missionary friend, but of one of the church members, of course, was not found until in the morning, drowned. And so many of these things, missionaries, as our brother was speaking about the San Luis Potosí situation, how we meet. To just uphold them in prayer constantly, daily, moment by moment, establishing ourselves as special to uphold these people that are referred from for us as a church, because the enemy has, of course, has its target on them, and if we can be aware of these families, so much the better. But then, that's God's command, that's God's order. A job needs to be done, and somebody has to be holding the ropes. And that's the reason for this conference here. So let's not keep God waiting. I mean, enough time has been wasted, enough energies have been silenced otherwise, that could be cherished, that it can do the most for the glory of God and for the millions that are pleading, even unconsciously, for an answer. We, in this revival, we had a couple of men come from Tampico, and for 20 and some years, their job is in the oil tankers, and they're out in the sea most of the time. But one of them said, I've had an anxiety within me for about 3 months. And I couldn't explain it. And to come over here to San Antonio, you wouldn't know the amount of troubles and problems we had to go through to get here. And this was not in the plans. We wanted to go from the border to Houston, and to from Houston to Florida, and there find us another ship to just go out into sea. But we didn't understand, nearly understand, what that anxiety was about. And that's the way the soul of the lost are pleading. Is there no one to care? Does anyone care for us? And we thank God that there is a church like this that cares. There is a church like that, Palermoza, that cares. There's still some churches that cares. A million yet untold. And the purpose of this meeting is to remind us that even if we run ahead according to us, give it the most, and yet much will be left undone yet. So what if we lag behind? What if we just think about it? What if we just deliberate if we can or if we cannot? There's no time for that. It's time to wake and see face to face the need of the hour. This is a beautiful place here. It's taken a lot of time and a lot of sacrifice. And, of course, the atmosphere could be more proper and more wonderful. But where it counts, it's outside these walls. That's where it counts. The bell that ranges out of these walls. And so we find ourselves with a satisfaction of serving the Lord out in the streets or out in the mission fields, we must admit that it's hard work, it's dangerous, it's dirty, it's discouraging. That's why we need the people to pull together and mend their hearts together, because there is a cost, and it's worthwhile to put our all into it, because we are here for just but a short time. And the reporting time will soon come around, and then we'll give account for what we did with the opportunities we had to share the gospel to those around in this old world that's deceived and under control of the devil. And he knew that he has only but a short time now. He has pulled all stops. I'll just repeat how many our churches have just watered down the gospel. How many churches have put up a for sale sign on its door? How many pastors have fallen into sin? And how the testimony of the gospel through Christians is no more looked up to. Oh my, but in spite of it all, we thank God that God is still on his throne. God is still on his throne. But we must realize those that are under the world, those of us that are privileged to have a church and a ministry and the ministers of God that are lifting their voices a high and loud, proclaiming to the people its sinfulness and its unrighteousness and its responsibility. We thank God because God continues to work in the midst of this adulterous generation, in spite of discouragement all around, yet we can still, praise God, see God's work going on. But we must remember again that God's work cannot be done on human muscle, on human ingenuity. It's not human strategies as much as all the methodology might just contribute in a way to some success, yet the real, genuine, permanent work of God, it must be done in God's power. It must be done through lives that have experienced the transformation and resurrected life. It must be done through the power of this will that is settled in the heavens forever. And it must be done in the power of the Spirit of God, in the church, as well as in the mission field. You know what? It all starts in our individual hearts. Surely, it means a lot to pull in our resources, to pull our prayers and our desires and our goals. And yet, God, the Bible always says, God looks for a man. He always underlines that reference in a singular manner. He's not looking for people. He's not looking for men. He's not looking for women. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a lady. He's looking for a child that is willing to give it all to him. And it starts in the individual heart and indefectibly in our homes. And talk about awakening, which is equivalent to a revival, to a quicker wind. A revival cannot be, we cannot have a revival unless we're careful to understand that revival not only starts in our own heart individually, but it has its basis at home. And according to our home, the way that our home goes, that's the way our churches go. We cannot be something here and then something different at home. No. We need to be conscientiously aware of God's presence. We need to practice God's presence in our lives. And then we need to know and we need to understand that a revival starts not only in the heart, but in the unity of the home. The work of God to meet a spirit-filled man that will turn into true spiritual leaders at home. True piety begins at home. But unfortunately, we can get too busy and too involved doing the work of God that we kind of forget our responsibility toward God in our home. We forget our very own. How many through the ages, through the years, and through the century have we heard of men mightily used of God, and yet their children went off another way. And it's been a burden of mine lately that we need a revival of Christian home. We need to care for our children, for young folks, brothers and sisters. We're into some real competition on the part of the world. And let's not be deceived. There's attractiveness over there. There's fun up there. And the so-called peer pressure is many a times more than some of the young ones can cope with. We're just coming for just a little bit on Sunday, maybe one time for an hour and a half or two on Wednesday midweek. And then they're on the ground continuously being bombarded by what they see, by what they hear, by those that are surrounded, by the ones that look for them. We don't have to really try hard and of course sin and immorality and lasciviousness is just pressing down on us at all times. And if we can feel that impact of immorality being just brushed over us, how much more does it affect our children? And unless we prepare our children, we certainly could lose them. It's a beautiful sight to have these young ones here and the young people. Oh, what a blessing. They could be out there doing anything, but then will they still be here in a little while longer? When they come to around 12, 13, and 14, and 15, it all depends what they see and hear us do at home. I mean, nothing will have a success when we live a double standard. We cannot live a double standard and think that we can have success with our children. Or they'll tell it to our face. Or they won't even have to tell us anything. They know where the door is. People, God has commissioned us to prepare a generation for Him. Now, many of us, or some of you, have the blessed privilege of coming into this world under the shadow of a Christian heritage. Then again, some of us, and mainly among the Spanish constituency, we mostly were apart from the gospel, under Roman Catholicism. We didn't know anything about the gospel. We've seen folks this week come and say, I've never heard things that I've heard today. I never knew of such things. 50 and 60 and 70 years old. And yet, some of us, there was some fiber went into our lives even before we could speak a word. There's a Christian heritage there. And yet, we're living in those days. It doesn't matter how much you love the Lord as a parent, how much you work for it. You better look out. You better do your job. You better just keep things straight. Keep them on the table. We must remember that the future generation depends on what they see and hear and even what they feel at home. This awash of let them make the decision for themselves or let them grow up and let them decide whatever they want. Hogwash. That's not Christian speech. You don't know the Bible. You don't know your responsibility. We're in for some real competition. And it doesn't take much for it to be at an advantage. We need to plead like men of old, like Abraham, like Moses in judgment. I don't know about you, but as far as me and my house, it's going to be forgotten. Then again, Daniel, and Job, and Nehemiah, and Jeremiah, the crying prophet, and Habakkuk, who said, will you not revive thy word in the midst of the times? That thy word might be known among the heathens. Oh, that there would be more of our church members with that burden, with that burning desire of calling on to God, that he might just do something in our midst, knowing that the time is far spent and that we need to do what we need to do. We need to do it in a hurry. Praise God, many say. Praise their God. That's why I'm pleading for my people. People pray. I don't know how, but we got that black board 90 feet across. We connected the two buildings, Brother Kincaid, and we're going to put a big front. But it's been like that 2 months, and it's been a reproach to us and to the cause. And I say, people, that's a reproach to the name of our Savior. We need to get this job done, and then we need to get in behind, because that's a bigger job we need to be doing. And we don't want people to say, well, they started and can't finish. Or, where is their God? And God is where he's been all the time. And I've got news for you. He's going to be there from eternity to eternity. Where God's people is the true question. Some say, where is the God of Elijah? The answer is, wherever are the Elijahs of God? And we need more of those. Now, what is the requirement for God's merciful condescendence upon his people? Surely, in the Bible and through the Bible, we know his heart's desire is to dwell among his people. And certainly, that's his heart's desire. But there's sin in the camp that has made him withdraw from us. It is sin that makes a division between God and ourselves. Oh, that all Christians would earnestly set themselves to seek God's face. What are the requirements? Oh, if people would just put it in their hearts earnestly to seek God's face. We talk about prayer. We talk about the blessing and the benefits of prayer. Then how much praying do we do? Is there a set time? Is there a determination? Is there a plan? Where do we go about it? That God knows that we are in earnest about it, that we're in business, or do we just delight to hear about the realness of prayer? Oh, if only we Christians would earnestly set ourselves to seek God's face, we could start positioning ourselves to where God could do something with us and among us. Oh, we could utterly and conscientiously dwell in the element of eternity if we only get our minds away for a moment from the now and now and realize that there's an eternity any moment on the other side. Oh, if only we Christian people would know the realness of hell. If only we would know the worth of a man's soul. We look at them, we kind of measure them up, we kind of make a conclusion about them without not even a thought of their soul. And we would know if they only got a couple of steps from hell. We would know if that's the last time any human eye would set upon that person, and there's something awaiting that person that will just snatch into eternity. Or if only we would become conscious of the worth of the soul of a man. If only we would be conscious that we are facing the realness of eternity. And only if we would really know God an experience like Jacob, who might have thought he knew God, but it wasn't until a given moment that he couldn't get away from the fact this had to be God. There is a God. I got to know now. He touched me. I know that there is a God. And only we know, if we would know that there is a God, not a theory, but a power and a realness, a God of mercy. All the Christians would hunger for the power of God in our lives. All that we would seek His wisdom in all things. All that we would know the fear of the Lord, and that we would be awed by His holiness. But these are theological theories, not very much pressed to actions in our lives. And then we say, there is God. And what's wrong with the churches? Why is there no moving of God? Because there's no moving among our own hearts. And God starts within our own selves on an individual basis. Oh, my brother, the Christians would care to really be Christians. Oh, that there would be a shedding fear of sin, and that there would be a repulsiveness against all that immorality which we just take in stride and laugh it off. Oh, that we would readily live under the watchful eye of God, practicing His presence at all times. Oh, that there would be a true hunger and thirst for the word of God. Oh, that we would live one day at a time in the blessed expectation of His coming. Many things would change. Oh, that our holy practice would be to do all things unto the Lord, and that indeed we would know that it was to put all on the altar of sacrifice, which is our daily duty. Oh, that Matthew 6:33 be our sole inclination. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, that His love be shed abroad in our hearts, that we would love one another, and that way the world would know we would truly be His disciples. Oh, like Wesley said, if there only could be at least 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, it would shake and turn this world over for Jesus. Let me close by saying, and I would go on, but somebody wrote these little words, only all the ones that are asleep would wake up, and the lukewarm would warm up, and the sun is day up, and the bitter would sweeten up, and the contagious would reconcile, and the life mouth would shut up, and the dead would arise, then maybe we could have a revival. The supreme need of the hour, brethren, is for the power of God. And before the fact, ante el hecho de la cruz, díganme, si no es un escándalo, como tú y yo, tell me, if it's not a shame, considering the cross, the way you and I live. People, we need to come back to the basics, as my brother mentioned a moment ago. We need to come back to God. We need to realize that it's enjoyable to come to church and meet and rejoice and worship the Lord. And yet, we enter to worship, we go out for service. We'll go out the door. It's the way, this is what we need to do. And we need to go in for business for the Lord, because there's a work that needs to be done up there. May God help us to realize that the time is short, the coming of the Lord is near, and unless we are shaken and awakened from us, we will give account, not for the hundred, but for the countless millions of souls that will not be wished because of our slowness of getting the job done. Bless, Lord, thy word continue to show us our real need, for it's in Jesus' name.